Welcome to the South Carolina State Library's podcast, Library Voices SC. I'm Curtis Rogers, Communications Director, and today I'm pleased to have with us in our studio, and this is a first for us, a mother and son team, Lucinda Clark and Xavier Clark. Lucinda Clark was born in Philadelphia and earned both her bachelor's and master's degrees in the great city of New Orleans from Dillard and Tulane University. She returned to Philadelphia and started Phoenix Rising Art Gallery. She began working with writers in 2002 and formed the company PRA Publishing. She's also a founding member of the Poetry Matters Project in Augusta, Georgia, right over the line, so it's not too far from South Carolina. And she also completed her legal studies with British American University School of Law in 2003. So welcome both of you to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And since I didn't have a written intro for Xavier, if you would just quickly introduce yourself to our listeners.
Okay. Kind of just piggying back off yours, Mom. I was also born in Philadelphia and earned my bachelor's degree from the great city of Athens, Georgia.
Hoorah, go Dogs.
Go Dogs, University of Georgia. I know we're here at South Carolina, but that's where I went to school. After college, I went to Miami for some time and worked in finance. Came back to Augusta to work at a bank, small community bank. And I also started my own small company, Modern Gutenberg, which deals with self-published projects, self-published authors.
Great. So a family of inspiring writers. talk to me a little bit about, Lucinda, your art background, because it said here, in your bio, there's something that you started called Phoenix Rising Art Gallery. So what's your art background, and maybe how did that translate or transform into writing?
Yes, I went to school to study science, biology, and public health, and I thought at one time I wanted to be a physician. Mm-hmm. And I went back home, and then I decided I wasn't going to be a physician. And I had absorbed a lot of culture while I was there in New Orleans. I lived there for 7 years. And one of the things I started to do was to work with African-American artists. Mm-hmm. And I had an opportunity to start an art gallery. We were right across from the Uptown Theater. And I showcased painters and sculptors for a short period of time. There was a robbery at my place, or mm-hmm. actually the whole building. And my enthusiasm to be a gallery owner sort of died there. But I continued to represent visual artists, and so I started to do showcases around the city of Philadelphia until we moved to North Carolina and then eventually here.
And then you started a publishing company. What brought that on?
Yes. When I moved from Philadelphia to Augusta, to the Augusta area, the art market was not the same. I had a stable client base of a client who came in and patronized our shows, and black art was thriving in Philadelphia. And then I came south, and not so much. And so I had to go to Plan B, which was helping people put art in their homes. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to be an interior decorator. And so I started working with my kids, because Jessica and Xavier were born right before or prior to us coming, moving south, after my husband finished his studies at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. And so I decided to kind of be mom for a while. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I stumbled upon writing. I worked with one of the community relations persons at the it used to be Borders. And she asked me if I was interested in working with poets. And that's how we started the poetry contest, which led to Poetry Matters, the okay. Poetry Matters Project.
Fascinating. And so the leaf doesn't fall that far from the tree, because you have, even though you're in finance and banking, you have, what did you say the name of the publishing was?
Well, it's called Modern Gutenberg.
Modern Gutenberg. How did that come about?
Well, I'm sure my mom thinks it's a funny story. after I came back from Florida. And I've always kind of worked with my mom, so has my sister, on and off. And when I was down there, I was kind of doing some freelance stuff with my mom. And I remember we had a talk about self-published authors. And I said to her, I said, Mom, you know, there's this great big market for self-published authors. And, you know, she always tells a story that I said, hey, you're leaving a bunch of money on the table. But I definitely saw that there was a big market there. And she didn't really have the interest to really get involved, with good reason. And so I took it upon myself to start up my own offshoot, so to speak, and it kind of became its own thing. I haven't been able to do quite as much with it now that I'm at the bank and I do mortgages full time. That mm-hmm. kind of pays my bills. Mm-hmm. But it was a good company and still continues to help people where, you know, where marketing is concerned and things like that.
Definitely, and we'll get those websites on our Library Voices SC podcast webpage so people can find those links to find out more about that. Yeah. I'm interested, what's your connection to South Carolina? You've mentioned Georgia, but and I know you're right across the line, but do you have a South Carolina connection?
Oh, boy. my father, it lives in Aiken. A lot of his family okay. originates from the South Carolina area. My mother is from the Thompson area. That's across the bridge. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, my father lives right down the road from the downtown Aiken. And so he currently lives there and about 15 minutes away from us. That's the family connection. I've worked with the Aiken County Historical Museum. Mm-hmm. I met the director there, Brenda Barato, when she first moved from Atlanta to Evans, Georgia, and then she moved over to Aiken. And we have done all kinds of projects together. We've done the Sweet Tea series over there. We've hosted the Aiken Poets programming over there. I've had the opportunity to work on the Dave Drake. I don't know if you're familiar with Dave the Potter.
Oh, yeah, Dave the Potter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They used to call him Dave the Slave. His name is Dave Drake. So they had I worked with Leonard Todd and his wife, Laurel
yes,
Blossom.
Yes, I know
we
Leonard.
Worked on the
mm-hmm.
first Dave Day. Mm-hmm. And so whenever Brenda says we need someone to come over and help, I'm right there. But the other South Carolina connection is that we recently did Bells and Whistles, a festival in McCormick, South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
We started a Poets Cafe where we did it for the festival at the MAC.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a great time. It was a rainy day, but we had a lot of fun with that. And then finally, here in Columbia, this is where we come and tango. There's a great dance studio.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that
up.
Oh,
of course. Shout out to Harvey. There's a great dance studio called Emerald Ballroom, mm-hmm. and that's where we go and take our dance lessons on Wednesdays. And plus, the poetry scene here is just phenomenal. Ed Madden, Al Black, mm-hmm. Len Larson, mm-hmm. And Charleston, the poet laureate Marcus.
Oh, yes.
And I have to give a shout out to the first poet laureate of Aiken, Joan Lacombe.
Yes, definitely.
And so we have done quite a bit with Aiken.
Yeah, that's great. Now, hopefully I will get some of them on our podcast. I have had Ed Madden over here and Monifa Lemons with the Watering Hole, the Writers Project here in Columbia, and also just had Glennis Redman from
Glennis.
Greenville.
Yes, she's
join
awesome.
Us.
Yeah.
So you were part of today's Speaker at the Center program, which the South Carolina State Library and the Center for the Book is an affiliate of the Library of Congress Center for the Book, and it was great to hear you both talk. But one thing you mentioned about your Columbia connection with tangoing and learning how to dance is that Xavier read something called Black People Don't Tango, and I thought that was just an amazing story. How did that story come about?
Yeah, that story, you know, it's kind of been years in the making, as I was kind of telling the group and telling you. It's been years in the making. It's based on true stories. Or a true story, and my mom tried for years, years, and I say decades, honestly, probably before I was even really conscious, trying to get my dad to dance and do tango, and he always, you know, said no, and it's just so funny because I was actually in school when the process started. I reference in the book, we actually got to go to Argentina and all these kinds of things, but I felt like I was kind of a part of the process, watching them start and then watching them, I'll use the word struggle, or trying to find their rhythm. And
practice makes perfect.
Right. Yes, yes. Through the practicing, and I would come home for the weekend or whatever, and I would see them, and I would see their progress, and then they started doing shows, and it's so funny now because they tango all the time, and she told
that's
me.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he loves to tango. His father.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
it's amazing.
You would have never thought if you met him now. Mm-hmm. You'd have thought he loved it. He's loved it all his life.
Oh, yeah. That's great. And how did the title or the phrase "Black people don't tango" come about?
My mom, she apparently thinks it was something from an uncle of mine, or for some reason I just remember it being like a joke, and it just kind of evolved into the title. And then when I wrote it, I didn't really have I'm gonna write a book about this. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just a story, and I showed it to my mom, and then she liked it and thought it was hilarious, and
it's funny.
And then we just kind of took
so
that
true.
Title, and it just became the title kind of. But the funny thing about it is it has kind of taken on its own kind of meaning in terms of, you know, what the idea of what certain types of people do and kind of stereotypes. Yeah. So it's kind of cool that it's morphed into that. But it kind of started off as kind of a joke, you know.
Yeah.
And it really fits into the book that you were concentrating on today at Speaker at the Center was View from the Middle of the Road, Where the Greenest Grass Grows. Mm. And that's a collected book of poems by you, Lucinda. And they do have to, you know, they touch on a lot of issues, and you read some of those because in the book you've got a number of different thoughts about, you know, mental illness. There's something you've got, dreamscapes, and just all kinds of interesting concepts and thoughts that it's not your typical book of poetry.
Oh, why? Well, hopefully that's a good thing.
I've been telling that for years.
Yeah, as we kind of touched on in the talk, I wrote it when I found out that I was moving into middle age.
Mm-hmm.
That's a transition in and of itself.
It certainly is.
But I was transitioning careers. I was watching my children grow up. I was supporting my husband, who was building a practice. And I had gone from being a woman who was out there, you know, doing it, you know, going out, not just, you know, making the money, but just out there doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then and that was in the North.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came here South where, I'm not gonna use the word cultural shock, but I'm gonna
You could just use the word different planet. Because it's a completely different world. And I knew I grew up in Connecticut till I was about 12, so I know the difference.
Okay, we'll use your description because yes, it was quite different.
Mm-hmm.
And right down to my kids had gone from a very diverse environment to where we moved and there were very few people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And they were moving through a school system without it. And I felt like I had to go up there and be the, you know, rebel mom and say, listen, you know, Black History Month. And they were going, what? What's she talking about?
I'm going to hop in on that one, actually. She, growing up, she actually got our school to have a Black History Fact every morning during Black History Month.
That's
I never
great.
Did it before. And
That's
she
great.
Actually made it happen. I don't know if they still do it or not, but
every
morning. It was actually pretty, looking back, really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important, you know, because every culture is unique and every culture should be celebrated.
Absolutely.
And America is based on that philosophy. So, no, kudos to you.
Yeah. Well, it was a fine line to walk, so I decided to write it down, because then part of the transition was going from painters, visual artists, to writers, you know, putting words, putting your creativity down on paper.
Sure.
And so always being one, and I try and try to instill it in my children, and some of my friends know this, you learn by doing. My mentor taught me that. And so I said, how hard can it be to write a book? And so I got together, and
And you realized it was really hard.
Yeah.
Lots of ins and outs that you have to go through. So tell us a little bit about the Poetry Matters Project. How did all that come about, and what is it?
Oh, man. Well, the Poetry Matters Project is now it's one of the great loves of my life right now. When I was approached by the young lady at the Borders, where I was taking my kids for Pokemon, and she said, "Yeah, let's do some poetry do a poetry contest with, you know, school age children." I was going, poetry, I'm not sure. And I said, what the heck, why not? And so we started a contest with Richmond and Columbia County Schools. And when I saw the response of the teachers, and the parents, even the students who had won the contest, I was hooked, sort of. But I thought it was a great idea. And then the following year, the young lady who encouraged me to do it, she stepped back, and my family stepped up, and we've been doing it ever since. We are in our 18th year.
Wow, that's wonderful.
This year, yes, and we have seen Poetry Matters, because it used to be, that's why when you put it in the Google, it came up Poetry Matters Celebration. It used to be Poetry Matters Celebration. It used to be the Poetry Month Tribute. I mean, we were going through. So yeah, it's gone through
its evolution.
Yeah, quite a bit. And so, one year, we decided that we would start doing these T-shirts. And that's when we started saying poetry matters. Poets matter. You know, we got into the grammar, you know, exclamation mark. Poets matter. Poetry is important. And so it was at that time we started transitioning from a contest to actually doing community programming. Every year we would have an event to acknowledge the winners, because we give a cash prize. And then the contest grew to the point where we had to start having the winners videotape themselves reading their poetry, and now we're on SoundCloud, because we've just got too many. They're from so many different corners of the planet that it's really really, really grown. Xavier and his sister Jessica have hung in there, and they have been judges from the beginning. I mean, actually, they don't need any bribery or anything like that. They actually say, "Oh, are there any poems this year?" So
that's great.
They've come along. So it's still a family effort.
It's pretty crazy to think about how it's grown.
Yeah. 18 years is a long time for a program to evolve and you know, turn into something that people now expect, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very great. Good point. Yeah. So we're looking to transition. We may need to just go ahead and get some staffing and all of that, because this month we've been everywhere. Like I said, McCormick. We were at the VA yesterday where we did sexual assault awareness. Where we saw poetry, how poetry transforms and lends power to the poet.
Definitely, it's like when you do part of your talk, you know, how cathartic poetry can be for a person who has been through, you know, something life-changing or life-altering, and if they write about it through poetry or express themselves through poetry, it can be really, really something that helps them.
Oh, man. It's not just the writing. It's actually when they stand and they speak the words that they have written, there are two forms of release. One is the actual writing of it, and then the actual sharing in your own voice. I would not have thought that if I hadn't started working with spoken word poets, but we our mission is to create community connections, or build community connections through collaboration under the guise of poetry.
That's a great mission. Well, since this is Library Voices, what is your relationship with libraries? And it can be any kind of library, but have you been a frequenter of libraries, or have you talked at libraries, aside from today here at the State Library?
Yeah, we talked at libraries.
I'll tell you what, she lives in libraries over the last couple of years. I'll tell you what.
The Columbia County Library. Mm-hmm. They were instrumental in helping us expand our programming during Poetry Month. We used to give readings for the winners. We used to do them at board. Every time I say Borders, you know, I remember now Borders no longer exists.
Right.
Well, as they were closing, we needed someplace to go, and the Columbia County Library and the Friends of the Columbia County Library stepped in and supported us. And so I've worked with that library. I'm a member of the Friends, Friends of Columbia County Library, and because I'm a writer, I saw my book in the library, and the American Library Association has a program titled
United for Libraries.
I am a member.
Oh, great, wonderful. No.
And so they give you a website, and you get to say a cool thing about libraries. Mm-hmm. And once you join, they say, okay, now you're on a committee. Mm-hmm. So they put me, I shouldn't say it like that. I say I am part of the.
I am honored to be a part of.
Yes, sir. Oh, there you go, right there. It's a legislation advocacy and intellectual freedom committee and
great.
The awards committee. So I think it's like May 6th or 7th.
That's National Library Legislative Day in Washington D.C.
Exactly, and it was Library Week.
Yep.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Say, see?
Yeah. She knows. She knows her library stuff.
So do you.
Well, I have to. So what kind of special projects do either of you have coming up in the couple months or months ahead?
Well, there's the big one that I know you're anxious to talk about, V5.
Well, oh, V5. Okay, go ahead. You share, since you're here, you know, as well.
Okay. Well, for me personally, a special project is work and doing loans for people, but we have a project together, View from the Middle of the Road 5, or View 5, and it's got a lot of great poems from my mom. Mm-hmm. It's got some work from a Uruguayan poet. Mm-hmm. And her name is
Sylvania Marcone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sylvania, and I've got a story in there. Black People Don't Tango.
Okay, good. So that's where that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be in there, and I look forward to seeing the reaction from that story, from the poems my mom's written. I've read some of Sylvania's stuff, very powerful stuff, and it's going to be a good book. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing it fully formed.
Yeah, well, Savannah is from Uruguay, as we mentioned, and she's a survivor of an abusive relationship. Mm. She is currently touring with her book titled, in English it's titled I Survived. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to me, I guess it's because of the Me Too movement and everything that's going on here worldwide, and she wanted to share her story. And so we started to collaborate, and there's something to be said for when you work in different languages.
Yes.
And so we're really tweaking the translation to make sure that we convey what she intended in the Spanish version. Mm-hmm. She is also coming. We are all planning to go to Miami. Do the Miami Book Festival to roll it out, all of us together. She's done some film work. She's down there shooting promotional film for her book, and she's extremely excited. And so we look forward to working with her. That's on the publishing, the PRA publishing side. Mm-hmm. We've got one or two other poets that we're working with coming in, a few months from now. One of them is Geza Tatarialye. Sorry, Geza. he is a Hungarian author and poet, and we've released his new book, Sighs and Murmurs. But so we'll leave it at that.
Sounds amazing. You've got a lot of wonderful things going on, and I know the poetry world is appreciative.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. But I had there was a story that you were sharing, Xeria, that I wanted to piggyback on, but I lost the thought there for the moment.
Oh, which one?
Yeah, where we were talking about negotiating a deal with your son. I want to leave this because you alluded to this in the talk. And when he says, yes, I literally tried to rip her. I mean, when he talked about the advance for his short story in the book, I said, oh, you've been doing too much with your
bucks.
So yeah. And I said, I started to laugh. And he was like,
I'm
thinking. And I said, oh, well, then it's a walk away, son. But we did come to a meeting of the minds.
I think it was close to that amount, though.
We met halfway. Charging by the word. I mean, it was crazy. But I think he learned well with regards to learning about the publishing business. Mm-hmm. And that's the other part I wanted to share. When he came back, I said, okay, you can work with me because you knew it from the other end as a worker or an employee. But I'm going to teach you the other end of the business. And I looked up, and honest to goodness, he had put the whole business together. I mean, he went and filed the paperwork and got the name and did the logo and he started, interviewing people and he had everything up on the website. And I was just like, good grief, the man is. And then he says, I've got this mortgage loan officer thing. I think I want to try it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so, so it goes with young people. So don't give up on them, parents. They eventually come back.
That's true. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us today.
Yeah, it was an honor. Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you to our listeners. You can find Library Voices SC on Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, or add us on your favorite podcast app. Our podcast website address is librarycast.podbean.com. We love hearing from our listeners, so send us your comments and suggestions for future topics. Library Voices SC is the official podcast of the South Carolina State Library. Until next time, this is Curtis Rogers. Thanks for listening.